Monday afternoon with Danny Pike, and it's time to do today's sound advice. We do this every day of the week. It'd be all sorts of things. Today, though, we're talking technology, and with us is the gadget detective, Fevzi Turkup. Hi, Fevzi. Happy New Year.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year to you, too.
Thanks for coming on and talking us through some of the tech that you've been spotting this week. Now, this is quite a throwback, but I mean, I guess most of us, if we got a job that involves a computer, still means we use a mouse every day. And you've got a new mouse for us. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, so this is a very high-end mouse. I've come to the conclusion that it's worth investing in the things that we use the most. So I'll invest more in my tablet than I will in, or my smartphone than I will in my desktop computer now, because that's where I spend most of my time.
Sounds reasonable.
And, you know, if you're using a desktop a lot, then the mouse is obviously an excellent thing to do. And some of us now have more than one device. You know, we might have two PCs, or we might have a PC and a Mac, or a PC, a Mac, and an iPad, or something like that. This mouse has got, so let me just name it first of all. It's from Logitech. It's called the MX Master 3. That's Mother X-Ray Master 3. And it's a highly ergonomic mouse. And that's the first thing to say about it. It is, for me at least, the most comfortable mouse that I've ever used. You know, it's got this sort of, I think it is for right-handers, I would say. I haven't tried using it in my left hand. But if you look at the layout of it, there's a sort of bulge off to the left of it where your thumb, or if you're right-handed, where your thumb would sit. So it's very ergonomic. But with all these things, I would say if you buy something like a mouse that is, you know, a personal comfort fit choice, make sure you buy it from somewhere where you can return it. So, you know, there are well-known retailers out there that have a sort of 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked. I would make sure you can return it if you're not happy with it, not just if it's faulty. But this mouse has, you know, in addition to, you know, being very well built, very accurate, very comfortable, it's a lot of controls on it as well. So you've got the scrolling wheel between the left and right mouse button, then you've got another couple of, but you've got a scrolling wheel for your thumb where you can scroll right and left across a window, and then you've got back and forward buttons, which I love because it means when I'm browsing I can trip back and forward through the pages without having to go to the top and click forward and back. So that's all nice. But it's got a very special trick, this. It's, first of all, I said it's compatible with all those different types of devices, which it is, but it's compatible with them all at the same time.
Oh, that's
so
clever.
You, in fact, and there is a keyboard that you can buy with this as well that does the same trick. You can essentially set up a mouse and keyboard and have up to three devices of various sorts, including your iPad, on your desktop at the same time.
Have you come across something like that from other brands before? Is that the, 'cause that's the first time I've heard of one that will just automatically jump between three different things.
There's these things called KVR switches, keyboard video. KVR,
yeah, but without KVR switching.
Remote. Yeah, no. So first that's of all, clever. This can work as a switch, right? Mm-hmm. So you can just say, okay, now I'm the keyboard or mouse for the iPad, and now I am for the Mac or the PC. But it's got this really clever trick. If you install their Flow software, you can actually use them at the same time. So you have, say, three screens side by side, PC, Mac, a tablet, for example. You can copy something from the PC and drop it onto the Mac. And as your mouse goes from left to right, it goes from one screen, it appears on the other screen and then the other one. And you can actually work seamlessly. There's a lot of clever software behind it that allows them to work as if they're, you know, one extended screen across these three devices, where you can drag and drop items from one device to another, you know, intuitively and seamlessly. And I've certainly never seen that work from anywhere else. I think that's a real bonus from Logitech. So this mouse is good for even people with a single computer, but it really comes into its own if you've got more than one device. And I think, you know, so many of us do. And it's a revelation to have, because modern iPads now do allow mouse control and it works reasonably well. And it's just a revelation to be able to use it with a keyboard and a mouse. It completely changes the way that the iPad is used. So list price on this thing, the MX Master 3, is just shy of £100. I looked on a well-known UK website today. It was £82.49, and I even see it go lower than that. So if you're not desperate for it, set up a price alert on something like camelcamelcamel.com or Price Spy. You can set, you know, choose the item and say, when this drops in price, let me know. That's a good way of buying it. 4.5 stars out of 5.
That's good. And also space saving as well. If you've got two keyboards and two mouses
yes.
that you're, your mice that you're wrestling with at yeah. the moment, that will free up some desk space for you. Okay,
yeah.
good start.
And there is a Mac version, Mac-only version for this, but I don't really see the need for that given, you know, this one does that. But I would just say in terms of the quality, it's the same quality as Apple keyboards and mice. I would actually say better. I replaced some of my Apple keyboards and mice with the Logitech equivalents.
Okay, moving on to a bit of external storage. What's this for then?
Yeah, so this is a very sort of high fashion but also very functional external solid state drive. So solid state drive is like a hard drive that we can store a lot of information on. It's external, which means it's not inside the computer, but it plugs into a computer or indeed, in this case, a games console. Which are just specialized computers these days anyway. Unlike a hard drive, which has moving parts, this is a solid state drive. It means no moving parts, just electronics. It's extremely fast. And even for an SSD, a solid state drive, this is very fast. You know, some SSDs work at 200 megabytes per second. 500. Some work at 1,000. This one works at 2,000.
So if you're gaming, that's crucial, isn't it?
Well, so first of all, to get advantage of the full speed, the device you plug it into has to support that speed. Mm-hmm. But it's good because even if it doesn't, you know, your next one probably will. So, you know, it's got sort of a little bit of future-proofing built into it. In terms of gaming, so for gaming, the big issue is that games are now huge in terms of the amount of storage they take up, and the internal storage of a game on the console. You know, it's easy to fill up a console these days. And you're right, it is important that it's fast because, so it's important that it's capacious. And by the way, the one that I looked at was 1 terabyte, and I'll come back to that in a moment, but you get 1 terabyte, 2 and 4 terabyte versions. So the capacity is important, but the speed is also important because with games, they don't just all load up at the beginning and off you go. They load the bits that you need as you progress. And you can get sort of stutters if the device is loading up the next, you know, let's say you're in a RPG role-playing game and you're walking down a corridor and you turn right. Suddenly it realizes, oh my God,
hang on a minute,
turn right.
We'll come back to you in a second as we turn the page and reload this. It exactly. kind of ruins the moment, doesn't it?
So it does that. So this works, as I say, with desktop computer and games consoles as well. I really do like it. It's also this one, particular one, is in a shock-resistant portable form factor, so it's all ruggedized, and I quite like that. So although it's
marketed quite heavy-duty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit butch, isn't it?
it's a butch external drive. I don't know how you manage that, but that's very good.
Yeah, well, it is. It's kind of on. It looks like it's small, but it's like on steroids, you know, like this. And it's in black with this sort of white emblazoned harsh writing across it. So it's designed for gamers. But what I would say is don't let that put you off if you're not a gamer, because it's great for a modern PC and a modern Mac. So I mentioned the other capacity. So the one that I tested was 1 terabyte. That's a terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes, and a gigabyte is 1,000 megabytes, right? So 1 terabyte is 1,000,000. It's 1 billion megabytes of data, which is, I think, the equivalent of several hundred filing cabinets or 200 or 300 hours of high definition movies and things like that. If it depends what you want.
Yeah, but also getting towards the sort of minimum you need, sort of 500 gig or 1 terabyte is the minimum you need in a machine, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'd give some advice about this because, you know, normally I'd say buy the best you can afford. But the thing about this sort of storage is it keeps coming down in price, you know, notwithstanding currency fluctuations and so forth. So work out what you think you will need for the next, say, year to 18 months and buy that. And the reason is, if you buy the 2 terabyte, it is better value. So let me give you the prices. 1 terabyte is 196 today. 2 terabytes is about 305. So for 50% extra, you get twice the storage. Doesn't work as well when you go to 4 terabytes because it goes from 305 to 745. So that's really
wow, that's serious.
Yeah, because it's having to use higher density components, which are more expensive currently. So, but what I would say is, you know, if you think all you'll need is 1 terabyte for the next 18 months, then buy that, because by the time you then break into the 2 terabyte, that one will be cheaper. But given that it's probably the sweet spot for this is the 2 terabyte at 305, because it's only 50% more. But if you think you're going to use that storage,
future proves you for a few years, doesn't it? So just tell us what the name of this one is called again.
Okay, so this is called, thank you so much, it's the WD, as in Western Digital, Black P50, the WD underscore black P50. And oh, one other thing about capacity of these drives. These drives wear out with use. I mean, all drives do, mechanical or physical ones. If you have a higher capacity drive, there is less wear. It will last longer, typically twice as long.
There you are.
If you get twice the capacity, you get twice the lifespan. And that's, by the way, also true of the SD cards that you put inside dash cams, because they're constantly rewriting.
Mm-hmm.
It goes, because they're constantly recording, and then when it finishes the capacity of the little SD card, it goes back to the beginning and overwrites it. So it's continually overwriting. If you get a higher capacity card, you double the capacity, you half the number of writes to it and double the life of it.
That's a good tip. All right. And then finally, Fevzi, taking our mobile phones abroad, and this has been something that's changing because of leaving the European Union, where they only got it sorted out a few years ago with roaming charges. So tell us what's happening now.
Yeah, so we were benefiting as EU members from the ability to not be charged extra for using our phones in any EU member state. And that was great, you know, because you could even use your minutes and, you know, your package and stuff like that. And it was just like being in the UK. The right to that went away just over a year ago. And some of our mobile phone companies initially said, we're not introducing any roaming charges, then changed their minds. Virgin Mobile and O2 have now said that they're not going to introduce roaming charges for their users, which is a good thing. But my experience is that the companies often say things like that, and then when no one's looking, they change it later. You know, when the narrative have moved on, maybe 6 months, a year, or whatever. The fact is, we don't have the right to it. They charged these things previously because they could. And the other thing about roaming charges is that I've always felt that they were disproportionate to the additional cost that the company was incurring in order to do it. And it was a reciprocal charge anyway, because it's not that, you see, because if we charge Europeans coming over here and then they charge us for going over there, then it's in the round, it's all square. But you know, this is good news, but I think it would be better if it was a legal right rather than just the whim of these companies at this time.
Right. So keep an eye on your bills and any notes that come out from your mobile provider, as maybe later in the year they change their minds a little bit. Okay.
Yeah. And can I just say also, it's a highly competitive market. Don't stay on the same contract forever. You know, even with the same company, I just reduced my mobile phone costs by 2/3, and staying with the same company, no switching, no transferring, nothing. I just found a better deal, which they didn't tell me about, and I lectured them about not telling me about it. And then it was, you know, it's like, oh, he just went quiet and switched me over, and, you know, it was very sheepish.
I'd like to have heard that conversation.
It was quite rich. I didn't tell him what I did for a living, but. Yeah.
If he hears this, he'll know now. Thanks, Fevzi. Have a good one.
Cheers.
See you next time. The Gadget Detective, Fevzi Turkap, with our sound advice today. He's got a podcast as well, which you can subscribe to by going to gadgetdetective.com.